Hello and welcome, everyone. Pastor Cliff is taking some well-earned time off over the summer. And I think everyone knows me. I'm Glenn Rasmussen. I'm a member and an elder at the Pennewall Alliance Church. And I will be covering for Pastor during the month of July. And I hope that everyone knows how fortunate and privileged we are to have Pastor Cliff as a preacher. He has been on fire and on top of his game. And I encourage people to go back and listen again on his series on Ephesians, the book of John, hearing the Holy Spirit, Colossians, and the current series on Romans, just to name a few. And the audio recordings of his messages can be found on the PAC webpage, in case you didn't know that. And Pastor Cliff has laid out for us what God's Word says about who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who we are, created in the image of God, fallen and sinful, reborn again in Christ, filled with the Spirit, and how we are to live our lives now in the present as saved, redeemed sinners, reborn as new creations in Christ Jesus, adopted as sons and daughters of God the Father. So you're probably wondering, what is Glenn going to talk about? He's no Pastor Cliff. And you're right about that. His shoes are far too big for me to fit into. But luckily for me, God has given me my own pair of shoes that he's designed for me to wear and walk in. So I'm hoping the messages that I'm going to share with you this month reflects what God's put onto my heart. And today's title is entitled, We Carry the Burdens of Sin. We are told, next slide. We are told in the second book of Timothy, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every work. God's word is in the Bible is truth. It gives the backstory and a narrative of the story of mankind and the truth of who we were, who we are now, who we are becoming, and who we will ultimately be. It's a story of rebellion, curses, cruelty, atrocities, evil, wickedness, lies and deception, struggle, suffering, and pain. It's a story of the greatness of God and his great love, mercy, grace, and sacrifice to save his people. It's a story of ultimate and total victory of good over evil. It's a story about choosing how to live our lives, whether in darkness or in light. Next slide. This book is to be respected and revered. It gives warning for all people who preach from it. It tells us in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again what we have said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcome, that person will be cursed. And one of the last words recorded in the Bible are those of Christ Jesus given in the last book, in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. In chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, Jesus warns, I testify and warn anyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from or distorts the word of the book of this, the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share of the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. So big shoes to fill, a clear warning from Jesus himself, not to miss with written, with God's written word, and not to mislead people. No pressure, right? All is good, no worries. Pastor Cliff referred me to a book on biblical teaching. I know that he has worn knees with constant kneeling and praying for me. So I'm hoping I'm going to be okay. So I'd like to share a little bit about myself and my experiences as to set up some context and perspective on what I'm going to be talking about. I was born in 1965 in Victoria, BC. I have an older sister named Darla who lives on Vancouver Island. I grew up playing hockey and lacrosse, went to the University of Victoria, graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Physics, moved to Toronto, Ontario in November of 1988 looking for work. Ended up going back to school at McMaster University in Hamilton and graduated with a Master's in Science degree in Health and Radiation Physics. I worked in a kind of practicum at the Atomic Energy Control Board in Ottawa. I left there for a summer student health physics program in the summer of 1991 at the Brookhaven National Laboratory in Long Island, New York. That led me to be hired and starting work as a health physicist on February 2nd, 1992 with Atomic Energy of Canada Limited, ACL, at the Whiteshell Laboratories here in Penawa. Joined the Penawa Rowing Club, met a girl named Yoko Tadaishi, got married in 1996, and moved in 1997 to Deep River, Ontario, to work at the ACL Chalk River Laboratories. While at Chalk River Labs, I joined the Toastmasters Club that met once a week at lunchtime. So Toastmasters is an organization that helps with public speaking and developing leadership skills. The president of the club was a lady named Ivy Chung. Ivy was a Christian. Ivy announced one meeting about a program being offered in Deep River called ALPHA. This was an introductory 6-week course that provides people an opportunity to learn about God and Christianity. This was sometime in 2002. Our first child, Graham, was a year old and a bit, and I wanted to go. They offered child care, and myself and Miyoko attended the course. At the end of the course, I had a lot of questions. I wanted answers. I wanted the truth. So I confronted the pastor, Pastor Rick, who led the course.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Well, he didn't quite say it that way. He told me all the answers are in the Bible, and he challenged me to read it and then come back to him and find out and tell him what I found out. Well, I never did get a chance to go back and tell him what I found out. So over the next few weeks, I'm going to be sharing with you what I've learned so far, what I've come to understand, some of my life experiences regarding the truth I've been searching for, and for which I'm still learning to live in. Next slide. I've come to understand that the truth is like a double-edged sword. One edge are the truths of the good, and the other edge are the truths of the bad and the ugly. Before you can understand and handle the truth of the good, you first need to understand the truth of the bad and the ugly. And it's the truth of the bad and the ugly of who we are that I think it's hard for people to handle and accept. But it is part of the truth that will ultimately set you free and allow you to become and live who God created and meant you to be. So I'm 59 years old now, so I figure I'm right in the middle of learning and doing life and who I became 20 years ago. Saved and redeemed in Christ Jesus, my soul restored, made a new creation, a beloved child of God in the righteousness of Christ. My destiny is to live forever in a fully restored and renewed body and mind, in a fully restored and renewed heaven and earth, where sin, evil, and wickedness exist no more, only good. Where I will live in perfect love and harmony with God, with others saved and transformed by Christ, and with Christ and with God's creation. Life will be what God meant it to be before the start of time. We will fulfill the reason and purpose of our existence. That is the destiny for those who have turned away from their sinful life, placed their trust and faith in Jesus Christ, and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That is the good news. That is the gospel. Next slide. A few months after completing the Alpha course, Neoka and I were attending a weekend business conference. On the Sunday, there was a non-denominational church service that we decided to attend. And guess what? They were handing out free New Testament Bibles, the New Living Translation. I took it and I read it. Then I went to the bookstore Chapters and bought a New International Version study Bible with the Old and New Testament, and read that too. And it's interesting when I think back upon that, I did not want anyone to see me buying that Bible or knowing I was reading it. It was like going to the self-help section and not wanting people to see that you're one of those people who can't handle and cope with life on your own, that you need help. Now that is exactly the secret to success in this life. Acknowledging and knowing that we cannot cope and handle living this life on our own. We need Jesus and we need his help. Shortly after finishing reading both the New and Old Testament, I saw an ad in the North Rancho Times paper about a series at the Deep River Calvary Church called 40 Days of Purpose. I told me I'll go. I wanted to go. And she supported me. And that brought me and my family to church, and there we experienced God's people. By this time, we had another addition to our family, a young baby girl named Emmy. Through the 40 Days of Purpose program, we were introduced to small group meetings. And for me, the small group meetings had a great impact on my learning and spiritual growth. The teachings, discussions, sharing, and fellowship were great. But the greatest impact on me was seeing warm, earthen, and genuine people. It's seeing and feeling the faith, hope, and trust they had in God and in Jesus Christ. Next slide. Pastor Cliff talks about defining moments in your life that changes your trajectory and what your final destiny might be, either for the good or for the bad, depending on how you react, the choices you make, and the attitude you choose. And these life events normally have a lasting impact on a person's life. I've had a number of these defining moments. I had two near-death experiences in my life that when I look back, it must have been the hand of God that saved me. I was born with a condition called pyloric stenosis. where the muscle at the end of stomach thickens so that food can't pass through to the small intestine. So I barely survived an emergency operation when I was 6 days old and a mere 5 pounds. Growing up, we lived in a trailer park at Goldstream Park at the foot of the Mellahat Highway, leaving the Greater Victoria area going north on Vancouver Island towards Duncan and Nanaimo. There were no schools, so we were bused to a school about 20 minutes away. The bus was an old chartered bus with no special markings or flashing lights. The bus would stop and we would cross the road to where the trailer park was located on the other side. One day, we got off the bus and I was about to walk across the road in front of the bus when someone yelled out my name. And just before I was going to step out onto the road, I stopped. And a large dump truck went roaring past the bus and up the road. One more step and I would have been hit and killed. I would have been in grade 3 or 4 at the time. And I remember shaking and trembling all the way home, knowing how close I came to from being killed. My Aunt Winnie, my dad's sister, lived in Victorian Salt Spring Island as a single mom with 4 children from 2 marriages. Her 3rd child, my cousin George, was found dead hanging from a flagpole on Salt Spring Island. And he must have been no more than 17 or 18 years old. And what happened, we never really discussed. And I was 11 or 12 at the time. I remember thinking, why was my life spared twice while my cousin's life came to a tragic end? Why was his fate a path that led him to suicide and death? Why was not his life saved? When I look at my father's life, I came to realize he had struggles and hardship. His mother had struggles. My mom, 2 brothers, and their children all had their share of struggles and hardship, unfair circumstances, wrong choices that changed the trajectory of their life and the lives of others. But through it all, I now see that God's loving hand has been on them and sustaining them. My mother struggled with health issues, chronic pain, anxiety, and depression for about 3/4 of her adult life. Starting off with back injury from work as a nurse, frozen shoulders, kidney infection and removal, depression, and a loss of will to live. And these were through my teenage years. Things that my dad did not really know how to handle. To compound things, these were years of financial struggle and challenges. My dad had emotionally checked out. My sister got married and started a new life. When I was in grade 12, my mother went to Saskatchewan to visit her parents in Swift Current. My dad told her he did not want her back and he wanted a divorce. And I don't think she saw that coming, and she was terribly hurt and felt abandoned. So she stayed in Swift Current. It was during my 2nd year at University of Victoria that the phone rang. It was a nurse from the Swift Current General Hospital informing me that my mom was in the hospital in intensive care. She had overdosed on aspirin. She told me it was because her kids don't love her. Wow, how do you process that? I didn't leave my mom. I was living on my own, moving forward, trying to make the best of things. My sister had moved on with her life. My dad was trying to make the best of his life. And I thought about how my mom must have felt, alone, rejected, and forgotten about. How did her life get here? How unfair, undeserving her situation was, and of no fault of her own. What level of despair was she feeling? What feeling of hopelessness did she have? But she survived, and I made sure going forward to make sure she did not feel forgotten. but I did not know what I could do to change her circumstances. Years later, she was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, and the doctors prescribed a morphine patch and antidepressant pills. Later, she battled and survived breast cancer. Next slide. Fast forward 19 years to Deep River. I have a good job, married with kids, found Jesus, growing the church. Life is good, right? Well, I was not happy. I was not content. I felt this low-lying burden. I didn't feel I was measuring up as a son, a husband, or a father. You see, growing intimacy was something I really never knew. Deep inside, I had a sense of shame, unworthiness, emptiness, and despair. A fear of intimacy and being vulnerable. A fear of receiving and showing love. A fear of being negatively received by others, disappointing others. A fear of conflict. A social misfit with an inability to find content. And I really hated it. One day, in the summer of 2004, the phone rang. It was my cousin Natalie in Saskatchewan. She told me that my mom was found unconscious in her home and had overdosed on aspirin again. She was in intensive care and on life support for severe liver damage. I called the hospital and was speaking with a nurse and asked about the chances for a liver transplant. And she asked me why I thought my mother would be deserving of a liver transplant when there are so many people who wanted to live and needed one. And I was thinking this must have been the same nurse who called me 19 years earlier. And I'm sure that my mom wanted to live. It was just a moment of weakness when she stopped taking her medication. And how sad that she found herself in even a worse situation. At that point in time, after becoming a Christian, I realized my mom did know God. And that she was, and I was pretty sure that she was a Christian. What she knew and what her relationship with God was, I didn't know. But she volunteered at the Salvation Army, and she regularly read the Bible. She had a heart for the lost and people who no one noticed. And she loved her family and her nieces and nephews. And I remember praying and asking God, how could he allow Satan to inflict even more hardship on my mom? And I asked him to show mercy. And the next phone call I got, I was told my mom had passed away. And this peace came over me. And it was as if I heard someone whispering in my ear, "It's okay, I got her." And I got this mental picture of Jesus embracing my mom in his arms and saying, "Welcome, dear child. You're home now. Come, I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you love." And I got this picture of my mom asking, "Why, Lord, why? Why did you allow me to be put through such physical, mental, and emotional anguish and hardship in my life? Why did I deserve that?" And he answered, "Look at your son and the other people in your life that you allowed me to touch and shape their lives because of your hardship and the people that you, and the person that they saw in you, which was me. And look how I allowed your circumstances to shape your son and let him define me. And look how I plan to use him. As it is written in my word," next slide. "And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose." Your life was not in vain. What you went through was not meaningless. Next slide. A year later, I got an opportunity through a friend to attend breakthrough training that was being offered in Toronto by the Association of Christian Character Development, an American-based organization. I felt drawn to go and told my uncle I wanted to go, and she supported me. She spent 4 days in a hotel room with a four-year-old and one-year-old while I attended the training at the hotel. That training was another defining moment in my life. The best way I can describe that training was it was more about doing an experiential learning rather than just head knowledge learning. And what I discovered and came to realize was that people carry emotional and physical hurts, pains, and burdens that are an accumulation of their life and life experiences. I learned that there are two main causes for this. Next slide. Unrepented sin and unforgiveness. Our lives are a series of wrongs, broken promises, failure to meet our responsibilities, and expectations that others place on us and that we place on ourselves. People we trust failing to meet their responsibilities and the expectations that we place on them. We live with the wrongs done against us and the wrongs that we've done to others. The wrongs that we've done to God, and worse yet, the wrongs that we perceive God has done to us. And we carry the weight living as a victim or a victimizer or a little bit of both. Burdens that have accumulated over our lives that we carry in our hearts and on our minds. Burdens composed of deep feelings of hurt, shame, guilt, self-loathing, despair, hate, resentment, bitterness, anger, hate. Against ourselves, against others, and against God. These inevitably lead to the hardening of our hearts and numbing of our minds, the inability to care, love, or feel, anger, hate, rage, depression, and hopelessness. And most of us find ourselves having a mixture of these or some remnant of these from our old past former life. I can't speak for the other people who took that training, I can speak for myself. I came in wearing this heavy backpack of burdens. And left wearing this much lighter backpack. I experienced what Jesus promised in Matthew 11. Next slide. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. And I felt it. It was actually true. What Jesus promised is actually true. I felt rest. I felt peace. All the guilt and shame was gone. All the resentment and bitterness hidden inside me was gone. I saw people in the world in a whole new light. I felt like a new creation. I felt filled with the Spirit. I couldn't believe it. It was like, wow, it's all true. Everyone needs to know about this. Everyone needs to experience this. Then I came to realization Everyone does not know this, and everyone hasn't experienced this. My mom didn't. And there we all were, all professed Christians, living weighed down by accumulated burdens of sin experienced in our lives. No one felt free. Everyone felt trapped, not knowing a way out. We feel we do not deserve. We feel we are not worthy to be relieved of our burdens. I felt like that. And the truth is, we don't. Our lives do not measure up to the goodness and expectation of God. We deserve the burdens that we have brought upon ourselves. Next slide. But the Bible tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God loves us so much that he chose to make a way to save us from our sins and our burdens by sending his Son, his only Son, Jesus Christ, to earth to pay for the penalty of our sins, our bad, and our ugliness through death by crucifixion on a cross, in order to make a way to save us, to make a way for us to be saved by the goodness of Christ, and to be freed and released from the burdens of our sinful life. And he was raised back to life on the third day by the power of the Holy Spirit, making a way to defeat death. Next slide. God says you are deserving to be freed of your sin and your burdens because he paid the penalty of sin for you. Free to live the life God wants you to live. And the only thing you need to do is to accept and have faith and trust on what Christ accomplished for you. Believing he was raised to life, defeating death. Accepting him as your Lord and Savior, and allowing him to lead and guide your life. And when you leave the burdens of sin at the foot of the cross, you honor Jesus, you glorify God the Father, and you bring joy to the Holy Spirit. If you've never truly placed your faith and trust in Jesus and embraced him as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to do so now. If you've never truly placed the burdens of your life that you still carry on your back at the foot of the cross, I invite you to do so now. If you've done so in the past, I invite you to do so again. So if you choose to, pray in silence with me the following prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you weary and burdened, and with a humble and contrite heart. I admit by how this rebellion, badness, and ugliness inside me, and I live a sinful life that does not and will never measure up to your goodness. Forgive me, O Lord. I am helpless on my own, and I so desperately need you. I place all my trust and faith in you, Lord Jesus, that you are God the Son, and that you came into this world in human form to pay the penalty of death for the sins of my life and the entire world by your death on the cross. I believe God raised you from the dead. I believe and accept God's gift of grace and forgiveness that lasts forever. The gift of goodness of your blood that covers my badness and ugliness and the sins of my life forever. In your honor and for your glory, I release and lay down at your feet all the burdens of sin and unforgiveness that I carry and weighs me down. Transform my heart to be your heart. Renew my mind to be your mind. Change my badness to be your goodness. Change my ugliness to be your beauty. Conform me, O Lord, into your image. In your mighty name I pray. Amen. It can be hard to accept, embrace, and then internally process these gifts that Jesus purchased for us. Gifts that cost you nothing other than believing and trusting that they are true. And placing your full trust and faith and entirety of your life onto Jesus and his nail-pierced hands. Believing and living in faith that you are no longer a captive of your life circumstances and no longer a slave to sin. Believing that you have been freed of the badness and ugliness of your human nature and given a new life, a restart in life through Christ. Surrendering and replacing your will with the will of God. Following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And there's more. It gets even better. Believing and knowing that you have been made a new creation, that you have God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, living in you, working in you, and working through you. And believing and knowing that you have been adopted and given the status of son or daughter of God. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be discussing and exploring who God is, his plan for our lives, and how to become alive in Christ and to live in the truth and the reality of what our life is to be. And at the end of it, I'm hoping that you, including myself, may gain some insight and perspective on life, how to persevere and endure the hard and difficult things of life, that you will discover for yourself what yoke Jesus is asking you to bear, and that it will indeed be easy, and what burdens is he asking you to carry, and that they will indeed be light.